Chapter 7 The Slug Club. Harry spent a lot of the last week of the holidays pondering the meaning of Malfoy's behavior in Nocturne Alley. What disturbed him most was the satisfied look on Malfoy's face as he had left the shop. Nothing that made Malfoy look that happy could be good news. To his slight annoyance, however, neither Ron nor Hermione seemed quite as curious about Malfoy's activities as he was, or at least they seemed to get bored of discussing it after a few days.
"Yes, I've already agreed it was fishy, Harry," said Hermione a little impatiently.
She was sitting on the windowsill in Fred and George's room with her feet up on one of the cardboard boxes and had only grudgingly looked up from her new copy of Advanced Rune Translation.
"But haven't we agreed there could be a lot of explanations?"
"Maybe he's broken his hand of glory," said Ron vaguely as he attempted to straighten his broomstick's bent tail twigs.
"Remember that shriveled up arm Malfoy had?"
"But what about when he said, 'Don't forget to keep that one safe'?" asked Harry for the umpteenth time. "That sounded to me like Borgin's got another one of the broken objects, and Malfoy wants both."
"You reckon?"
said Ron, now trying to scrape some dirt off his broom handle.
"Yeah, I do," said Harry.
When neither Ron nor Hermione answered, he said,
"Malfoy's father's in Azkaban. Don't you think Malfoy'd like revenge?"
Ron looked up, blinking.
"Malfoy? Revenge? What can he do about it?"
"That's my point. I don't know," said Harry, frustrated.
"But he's up to something, and I think we should take it seriously. His father's a Death Eater, and..."
Harry broke off, his eyes fixed on the window behind Hermione, his mouth open. A startling thought had just occurred to him.
"Harry,"
said Hermione in an anxious voice.
"What's wrong?"
"Your scar's not hurting again, is it?"
asked Ron nervously.
"He's a Death Eater," said Harry slowly. "He's replaced his father as a Death Eater."
There was a silence. Then Ron erupted in laughter.
"Malfoy? He's 16, Harry. You think you know who would let Malfoy join?"
"It seems very unlikely, Harry,"
said Hermione in a repressive sort of voice.
"What makes you think?"
"In Madame Malkin's. She didn't touch him, but he yelled and jerked his arm away from her when she went to roll up his sleeve. It was his left arm. He's been branded with the dark mark."
Ron and Hermione looked at each other.
"Well,"
said Ron, sounding thoroughly unconvinced.
"I think he just wanted to get out of there, Harry," said Hermione.
"He showed Borgin something we couldn't see," Harry pressed on stubbornly. "Something that seriously scared Borgin.
It was the mark. I know it. He was showing Borgin who he was dealing with. You saw how seriously Borgin took him."
Ron and Hermione exchanged another look.
"I'm not sure, Harry."
"Yeah, I still don't reckon you know who would let Malfoy join."
Annoyed but absolutely convinced he was right, Harry snatched up a pile of filthy Quidditch robes and left the room. Mrs. Weasley had been urging them for days not to leave their washing and packing until the last moment. On the landing, he bumped into Ginny, who was returning to her room, carrying a pile of freshly laundered clothes.
"I wouldn't go in the kitchen just now," she warned him. "There's a lot of phlegm around."
"I'll be careful not to slip in it," Harry smiled.
Sure enough, when he entered the kitchen, it was to find Fleur sitting at the kitchen table in full flow about plans for her wedding to Bill, while Mrs. Weasley kept watch over a pile of self-peeling sprouts, looking bad-tempered.
"Bill and I have almost decided on only two bridesmaids. Ginny and Gabrielle will look very sweet together. I am thinking of dressing them in pale gold. Pink would, of course, be horrible with Ginny's hair."
"Ah, Harry,"
said Mrs. Weasley loudly, cutting across Fleur's monologue.
"Good. I wanted to explain about the security arrangements for the journey to Hogwarts tomorrow. We've got ministry cars again, and there will be Aurors waiting at the station."
"Is Tonks going to be there?" asked Harry, handing over his Quidditch things.
"No, I don't think so. She's been stationed somewhere else, from what Arthur said." "She has let herself go, that Tonks,"
Fleur mused, examining her own stunning reflection in the back of a teaspoon.
A big mistake, if you ask. Yes, thank you, said Mrs. Weasley tartly, cutting across Fleur again. You'd better get on, Harry. I want the trunks ready tonight, if possible, so we don't have the usual last-minute scramble.
And in fact, their departure the following morning was smoother than usual. The ministry cars glided up to the front of the burrow to find them waiting, trunks packed. Hermione's cat, Crookshanks, safely enclosed in his travelling basket, and Hedwig, Ron's owl, Pigwidgeon, and Ginny's new purple pygmy puff, Arnold, in cages.
Au revoir, Harry,
said Fleur throatily, kissing him goodbye. Ron hurried forward, looking hopeful, but Ginny stuck out her foot, and Ron fell, sprawling in the dust at Fleur's feet. Furious, red-faced and dirt-spattered, he hurried into the car without saying goodbye. There was no cheerful Hagrid waiting for them at King's Cross Station. Instead, two grim-faced, bearded Aurors in dark muggle suits moved forward the moment the car stopped, and, flanking the party, marched them into the station without speaking.
"Quick, quick, through the barrier,"
said Mrs. Weasley, who seemed a little flustered by this austere efficiency.
"Harry had better go first with—"
She looked inquiringly at one of the Aurors, who nodded briefly, seized Harry's upper arm, and attempted to steer him toward the barrier between platforms 9 and 10.
"I can walk, thanks," said Harry irritably, jerking his arm out of the Auror's grip.
He pushed his trolley directly at the solid barrier, ignoring his silent companion, and found himself a second later standing on platform 9 3/4, where the scarlet Hogwarts Express stood belching steam over the crowd. Hermione and the Weasleys joined him within seconds. Without waiting to consult his grim-faced Auror, Harry motioned to Ron and Hermione to follow him up the platform, looking for an empty compartment.
"We can't, Harry," said Hermione, looking apologetic. "Ron and I've got to go to the prefect's carriage first, and then patrol the corridors for a bit." "Oh, yeah, I forgot," said Harry. "You'd better get straight on the train, all of you. You've only got a few minutes to go," said Mrs. Weasley, consulting her watch. "Well, have a lovely term, Ron."
"Mr. Weasley, can I have a quick word?" said Harry, making up his mind on the spur of the moment.
"Of course,"
said Mr. Weasley, who looked slightly surprised but followed Harry out of earshot of the others nevertheless.